I will be reading the scripture verses on the back from Revelation, just Revelation, right? You're going to talk about the others later. But I will also be reading after that a quote from Lady Julian of Norwich, which is inside. And so before I do the readings, I want to tell you a little bit about her. I actually did a paper on her in graduate school, and so I have a sense that I know Lady Julian, and she spent the majority of her adult life seeking God. And the quote that we're going to be reading is from her book called Showings, and it was about seeing Revelation, the things that Tim is talking about. And so I'm excited to read them. I'm going to read them how I remember them from my study. But I'll read that after I read the scripture, which is on the back of the devotional, and that's Revelation 21, verses 3 to 5. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." And from Lady Julian, "All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." May God bless this reading for him this morning.
Today's sermon might sound very familiar because I'm going to reprise and review what I did last Sunday because it's a concept that is sometimes not easily come by and grasp, and I know that to be true because of some of the feedback I've been getting from both you and from people that listen on our website. And so if you allow me that, I think that I need to reboot a little bit here on this topic. The main body of our scripture is the Romans 1, 16, and 17, which you have on your devotional. And years ago, I became a bit of a aficionado of Paul's letter to the Romans. I spent several, I suppose, the better part of my life studying the book of Romans. And it yielded so much, and my theology just expanded so much through Paul and his writing, and I was able to, through the Holy Spirit's help, get inside Paul's head. And as a result of that, I think I do understand his writings very well. Nothing that I did. The Spirit gave this to me. And so he writes something profound here in verses 16 and 17, which I need to unpack a little bit more for you. The first 15 verses of Romans chapter 1 are the woof and the warp of Paul's life. This is his reason for living, the first 15 verses. And in that, he uses, he says he's eager, he's obligated, and he's not ashamed. And he's held to mission. The first 15 verses of Romans chapter 1 talk about Paul being held to mission, that it's in his bones and it's burning and he has to do it. He has to come to Rome. He has to share with the Gentile church at Rome everything that the Spirit has told him. And so those 1 through 15, the woof and the warp. Verses 16 and 17 then are the why. This is why Paul has changed his life. He explains it in 16 and 17. And we need to understand this a little bit. Verse 16, he says, I'm doing all this. The first word he says, for. What do you do when you see the word for? What's it there for? Okay? So he's saying, in other words, when he starts verse 16, he says, this is why. This is why I'm doing what I said I want to do. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? Because, note closely, it is God's power. It is. It's not, the gospel doesn't hold God's power. It is God's power for a reason. It's unleashed for salvation. It is God's power for salvation. And please understand, for Paul's readers, salvation meant two things. There's a penultimate reason for salvation, and there's an ultimate reason for salvation. You know the difference in those two words? Okay. Penultimate is 11 p.m. Ultimate is midnight. Penultimate is the thing that happens right before. It's underneath the ultimate thing. It's the penultimate thing. So the penultimate reason for salvation, the salvation that Paul is describing here to this church in Rome, is that they were under the thumb of Caesar. They were under the control, the oppression, and the power of Caesar. And understand, Paul's writing was so subversive here. He took such a risk to even write these words. Because he is saying to them, Jesus is king and Caesar is not. Now I'm going to make this contemporary here in a minute. So that was the penultimate thing that they heard when they read this. The ultimate thing, of course, Paul, and salvation is the defeat of death. That's the ultimate reason for salvation. And Paul has perfectly good language to describe that. Well, and if you want to check that out, you would read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul talks about the last enemy to be defeated is death. So this is not just a social gospel he's talking about. It's not just a social salvation. But we have, I'm afraid, emphasized the defeat of death, to the peril of the other. And that we need to understand that this gospel has power. This gospel is power to salvage us today, you and me, from Caesar, capital C, Caesar, from the oppression and the power and the control that Caesar is trying to exert over the church today in America. Aren't they shuttering churches in America today under the guise of protecting people? If you don't see the political agenda behind that, if you don't see the enemy's workings behind that. So this power has been unleashed for salvation to all who believe. There's a condition to everyone who believes. And then he says, here's why. Verse 17, here's why it has this power. It has this power because in it God's righteousness is revealed. Okay, so we need to stop there. What is God's righteousness? This gospel is the power of salvation for one reason, Paul says. He says, what gives it the power is the revelation, the revealing, the unmasking, the apocalypse of God's righteousness. When you hear that term, what do you think of when you hear God's righteousness? Well, let me simplify it for you. And this is what this entire book is about, God's righteousness. And that's why I had Teresa read arguably my favorite passage in all of Scripture. And if you're a man or woman of God, soak yourself in this passage. There's a reason that this is at the end of the book. This entire book is straining toward Revelation 21 following. The righteousness of God is right there. It is God saying, I am going to reclaim my good creation. I promise you. I'm going to salvage my good creation. I promise you. I'm going to set things and people right. And when he reclaims his good creation, as described here by John the seer in Revelation, that is the righteousness of God. He's going to set things right. Isn't that, how's that hit you? And the gospel, Paul says, the gospel, this entire book, the faithfulness of God to keep that promise is revealed to us. The faithfulness of God to do what this says, the promise is revealed to us. We can depend on it through revelations, through seeing, through the Spirit speaking to us. And what does that do for us? It salvages us. It saves us. It gives us an unshakable hope and endurance. God's dwelling is with men. He will live with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he'll be their God. I promise you that's going to happen. And in the gospel, Paul says, there are flashes that show us this is true. There are revelations that come to you and that come to me when we delve into this that show us that that is true. And what does that do? It changes the way you live. It gets you and me out from under the oppression, the control, and the power of Caesar. This is God's power. Not. What devices are you using to salvage yourself? This is God's power, not educational power, not intellect, not government power, not fiscal power, and it's not your power. If you're trying to salvage yourself from Caesar, that's impossible. But here, held within this gospel, the power is there. Now, there's two types of Caesar in your life. This actually is about healing today. Two types of Caesar. There's a Caesar with a capital C. That would be political power in a country. This says they have the answers for us, that they are going to salvage us. They're going to save us. So that's the capital C Caesar in your life. Now there's another Caesar, and that is a small case C. And the small case Caesar in your life are the things that are dragging you down in your life, that your personal issues, your earthly facts, your actual. That's the small C Caesar in your life. And Paul makes the audacious statement here that this gospel is the power to salvage, free, and save you from both the capital C Caesar and the small C Caesar. Both of those things that are vying for control of your life. The things that in your life dog your steps. The things that in your life you want healing from. Physical healing? Maybe. But I want to talk also today about another type of healing. So this faithfulness of God to keep that promise that he's going to reclaim his good creation, that he is going to set things and people right, and you included in that being set right, is revealed. Apocalypsed, shown to us. And that revealing, here's the next statement that's kind of cryptic from Paul. For it is God's righteousness is revealed. And then he says, from faith to faith. What's that mean? What does that mean, from faith to faith, Paul? That revealing creates faith in us. It takes faith to see the revelations, and it takes the revelations to create the faith. The more revelations that you have in this book and through your study and through Scripture, the more revelatory experiences that you have, your faith increases. Your faith grows. So it takes faith to see the revelation, Paul says, and the revelation creates faith in us. I need these apocalyptic moments. Jesus needed these apocalyptic moments. The author of Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross. See, you're struggling, and I struggle. And we're looking for a solution to the Caesars in our lives. The capital C Caesar and the lowercase c Caesar. And we're looking for those for solutions. I remember driving to work one day and on AFR, I heard one of the speakers say, Scripture holds the answer for every single problem that you have. Scripture holds the solution to whatever issue you're struggling with. Scripture is the answer for that. And I kind of thought of that askance, to be honest with you. I didn't understand how that could really be fleshed out and how that can be a practical thing. And through the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that has brought this message to me, I know that that this can be so healing for a lot of people. Because I need those apocalyptic moments. Don't you need those moments? Don't you need to know that God is faithful to keep the promise that we just read about in Revelation? Don't we need to know, like Julian of Norwich said, all will be well and every manner of thing will be made well? And when we have the revelations through Scripture, when you take the time to study Scripture, remember the power of this is dependent on revelation. The power of the gospel to salvage you is dependent on revelation. The power of this gospel to take you and the Caesars that are dogging your steps, the emotional issues that you have, the spiritual issues that you have, and yes, the physical issues that you have that dog your steps and tear you down and try and control you, those things you can be salvaged from. You can be saved from those things. You can actually live a life that is above those things. We have the ability in this book and in our faith to be salvaged from that, to be saved from that, because we know that God's faithfulness to keep the promise in Revelation, we know that to be true. And we know it to be true through revelation. When we read Scripture, the power is dependent on revelation. The revelation to you and me is dependent on Jesus-derived faith. Jesus-derived faith for you and me is dependent upon a robust relationship with him. And a robust relationship with him is dependent on time. Peter, James, and John needed revelation. See, I need to know that this is true. I need to know that God is faithful to his promises and that he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration so that they would have that experience. They were going to need that experience to stand up against both capital Caesar and lowercase Caesar in their lives. There's a lot of things that try and control us. Satan uses a lot of devices to keep us off balance. And Satan, the temptation is for us to look for any other thing to give us salvation, to give us salvage, to save us from these things. That is the temptation that we're up against, and that's the temptation that the church is up against today. Why? What has happened to the church? We're ashamed of the gospel. Why are we ashamed of the gospel? We're not having revelations. We're not certain that God's promises are true. We're not certain that we can even count on God. Why? Because we do not have Jesus-derived faith. Why? Because we don't have a robust relationship with the One. And again, why? Because we don't spend time with Him in this Word where these flashes and these revelations are sent and given to us. Mary, Martha, and those in attendance at Lazarus' tomb, they needed that apocalyptic moment. They needed to see that. They needed to know that it was true. And that brings us to the healings of Jesus. The healings of Jesus are demonstrating to those in attendance the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? His way of setting things and people right. The righteousness of God is He is going to reclaim His good creation. The righteousness of God is that all things will be well and every manner of thing will be well. When Jesus healed people, that's what He was doing. Do you see this? He was showing in a very concrete, tangible way. He was giving them revelations of the righteousness of God. He was, when He healed people, He was showing them what was already presently true, what was the heavenly truth behind their earthly fact. And what happened to those people is they were salvaged from the thing that had crippled them, that had made them blind, that had made them diseased in any number of ways. That's the righteousness of God coming forward and meeting them in the present. Showing them what was already true in the heavenly realm. The healings and miracles of Jesus were not just so that He could show how powerful God could be when He wanted to be. The healings of Jesus is the demonstration of what Paul is talking about here in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And that is what gives the power to salvage you and me from the Caesars in our life. Without those revelations, we are subject, like Jake Spoon, any wind can blow us. Any wind can blow us unless we have these revelations. When we are on the solid bedrock that we can trust God, that He's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do, and we have increments and flashes of that in our lives now, it saves us from being subject to the oppression and the control and the power of not only the political powers in our lives, but also your earthly facts. Your earthly facts are trying to exert control, oppression, and power over you. And when you have the assurance that those earthly facts are already slated for obsolescence, they are already dealt with, they're already taken care of in the heavenly realm, in the heavenly truth behind it, they don't exist. And by God's grace and His revelation to us through Scripture, we see that. And you see what happens to those things then? They lose their power over us. They no longer control us. We know, we look at every time Jesus healed somebody, He would say, "Your faith has healed you." And we ask today, well, why isn't that happening today? Why are we not seeing physical healing today? It takes just as much faith for us to be healed spiritually, for us to be healed emotionally, for us to be healed attitudinally. It takes just as much faith. Now, I want you to grasp this. This is just my opinion, could be wrong. Jesus walked among us and He showed and demonstrated the righteousness of God. tangible, concrete way. He showed us this is God's rightness coming into the present to meet you. His healing showed that God is indeed faithful. His healing showed that Revelation 21 is indeed true, that all of these things are going to be made new, that there's no death, grief, crying, and pain, no longer going to exist, and everything in your life is going to be made new. And so Jesus, under a limited time frame, he had a 3-year ministry, and under a limited time frame, he had to show very quickly and very powerfully to these people that were watching him that he was indeed the embodiment of the gospel, that he was indeed showing them, this is the righteousness of God, and I'm going to demonstrate it to you because I'm going to make this right in this person's life. I'm going to bring him and make him right. He was under a short time frame to make this happen. It had to be dramatic, and it had to be powerful. So why isn't that happening today? And what healing do you need? You know, we pray for physical healing, and we think that that is the ultimate show of God's power. That is the ultimate show of God's righteousness. Now we can believe Scripture. How about emotional healing? How about spiritual healing? How about attitudinal healing? Do you need any of that in your life today? Because, you see, that takes a lot much longer time, doesn't it? That is a whole lifetime process. So I look at the healings of Jesus, and I bring that into today, and I say, we have the same power today. We can exercise the faith to heal ourselves today through, heal ourselves, heal, use Jesus and the faith that we have in him that brings healing to us today in a different arena, in a spiritual arena, in an emotional arena, in a mental arena. Your faith has healed you is not just about physical healing. That's what we all want. And that looks very dramatic, and that looks very spectacular. And we can say, yes, God is powerful. He has physically healed this person. It is just as powerful, and it takes just as much faith to allow a healing in our lives so that we are released from the small C Caesar in your life. There's a small C Caesar that is controlling and trying to exert influence over us and power and oppression over us. And the revelation of God through Scripture releases us from that, releases you from the power of those things, gives you confidence that God's promises are absolutely true, and God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, and it can start now, in our lives now, through these revelatory moments that we have in Scripture. If you're stumbling with that, if something's got you under their oppression, something has you under their thumb, something is controlling you, you have to ask yourself the question, is the power, is this gospel, which is God's power to salvage me, being utilized and manifested in my life? And that power to do that for you and for me is dependent on you getting these revelations through the Spirit that this is absolutely true. I'm going to challenge you to do this. I'm going to challenge you to take whatever the small C Caesar is in your life that is exerting control, oppression, and power, an attitude, a fear, a depression, an anxiety, whatever it may be, whatever that Caesar is for you. And if you do not have salvation from that thing, I'm going to point you to Romans 1, 16 and 17. Because I'm going to say to you, the woof and the warp of your life can completely change. Your attitudes can completely change. Your appetites can completely change, and you are not going to do it on your own. This is God's power to salvage us, not us. Whatever you're looking for, whatever device you're employing, whoever you're looking to give you control over this, it's not government, it's not intellect, it's not education, it's not money, it's not yourself. None of those things. They have a power. They have a power, but it's not God's power. And we are talking about God's power here, which saves us from those things. And in order for that to happen, here's the challenge for you. A allow the Spirit to reveal God's intention to set things and you in the right. Allow the revelation to teach us and show us that God is indeed going to reclaim his good creation. He is true, he is faithful, and he's going to do it. And that comes crashing into your head, and it absolutely changes the way you look at everything else in your life. How much time do you spend in Scripture? Do you find yourself under the control of a small C, Caesar? Do you have Jesus-derived faith? Do you have a robust relationship with him? Do you spend time with him? Because if you do, and if you're willing to do that, remember, every promise in Scripture has a condition. Every promise has a condition. The condition here is in verse 16. It's God's power for our salvation to who? Everyone who believes. Well, that's great, Paul. How do I get this belief? Well, you get this belief through revelation. Well, how do I have these revelations? Well, he says, it's from the faith of God. Build your faith. When you see the faithfulness of God, it builds your faith. How do I plug into the faithfulness of God, Paul? Go back to the thing that he's not ashamed of. The gospel. It gives, I need this. I need the following. I need meaning, depth, and theological significance to all of my earthly facts. I need to know that this had meaning. I need to know it had significance. I need to know it had theological import in my life. And you see, unless I have that, and unless you have that, God's people, the Holy Spirit's going to give you a freeing message today. You need salvaged. You need to be out from under the control and the thumb and the oppression of something. And unless we have meaning, depth, and theological significance to the earthly facts, they own you. They control you. Revelations, Paul says, unleash the power of God. Unleash the power to salvage and save you from that and to have it happen today. Physical healing is not, to us it is, it's dramatic. Physical healing is not the ultimate demonstration of God's power. Jesus needed that. He needed the drama of that. He needed to show people concretely, this is the righteousness of God. I'm going to reveal it right now. And this is what it means. It means that things are going to be set right. That same healing comes to us today. I'm not discounting physical healing. It can happen. And it does happen through the power of God. But I am saying, when you don't have physical healing, there is another type of healing that maybe supersedes that in your life. That is maybe more important. Takes longer. Less dramatic. Not so much of a wow factor. But it takes just as much faith and just as much revelation from God in order for that healing to occur in your life. See, we overlook that, don't we? I think we downplay that. I think it's secondary to us. I know it is. But it is something that every man, jack, one of us needs. Every one of God's people needs this. Every one of us need to be from under the control, the oppression, and power of the Caesar in your life, small case, small c, that Caesar in your life that is individual and specific to your life, that nobody else knows about. And Jesus says to you, and he says to me, your faith will heal you from that. I'm going to talk next week about the nature of faith, the origin of faith, what it does in our lives. And again, we're going to look to Paul to ferret this out for us. I hope I was able to convey something today, and I'm not certain that there weren't some obstacles. I don't know. I hope that the Holy Spirit grabbed you and got this into your hearts, because it is absolutely revolutionary, life-changing to understand that your salvation is available now, today, from both types of Caesar in your life, and how that frees you and gives you joy and gives you the fruit of the Spirit and allows you to live like Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your blessing on this. I pray it was delivered under your power. Amen.